This is Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
A window to the Latin universe.
Stanford 90.1 FM.
Radio Atenea Americana.
This is
Atenea Americana.
Bilingual house of culture on the air and online.
Radio
Atenea Americana.
Su casa de la cultura en la radio y online.
Para Radio 90.1 KCSU Stanford.
I am Isabel Jubes.
Isabel Jubes. Bienvenidos.
Atenea Americana.
Welcome. Bienvenidos.
From Stanford to the world.
Today, our guest is a mother, an entrepreneur, an Air Force veteran. She has ridden pilot and navigated Air Force planes for many years, traveling all around the world. She had extensive studies on the technical aspects of different aircraft and the math of flying. But after her retirement from the Air Force, she started her new company. She started to write books and she also got her own mission. Graciela Tiscareño Sato has her own publishing company and has already written many books. She is a public speaker and advocate for the causes she really believes in. Today, we will focus on the craft of publishing, on the second installment of her Captain Mama series and her plan for this bilingual children book series. This Captain Mama series will touch many educational topics like engineering, science, cultural exchange, but also bilingual life and how is the life of a child in a military family, how it is to have a strong and smart mother figure, or reminding us that we are all living in a big multicultural world. And remember that this and all our shows are at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org, that there you can find the links to all our podcasts, to all our social networking places, so you can stay in contact with us, so you can give us your opinions and more. Here we are in Atenea Americana, and today we have a friend of the show. She is a recurrent guest. She is a bilingual writer. She is a veteran. She is an entrepreneur. She is the head of her own publishing company. And she is bringing us her latest kids book that she's just finishing the production. It involves a lot about her knowledge and her adventures as a veteran in the Air Force and about being a mother and about being well, all the wonderful things. She's welcome, Graciela. Thank you for coming again.
Thank you so much, Isabel. It's always wonderful to be here with you.
Yeah. So, and you are just finishing this process of the second book, who's taking a long time with a lot of details to make this beautiful product, this tiny little jewelry box full of great treasures inside. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yes. So Captain Mama Surprise, La Sorpresa de Capitán Mamá, it's the second book in the Captain Mama series. Mm-hmm. And in the first book, Goodnight Captain Mama, we learned from the little boy Marco why mm-hmm. his mommy serves, what is this green flight suit she wears, what are all the patches, what does this mean, why does she do this job? It's so strange and unusual. Mm-hmm. Now that Marco's a couple years older, he is taking his second grade class and his sisters out to the airplane to finally visit the airplane where his mom works and flies, and to meet the air crew and to understand the different parts of this very unusual airplane, the flying gas station that is the KC-135 in the Air Force, which is the airplane that I flew on.
Great.
So it's a field trip with a class, and we meet his sisters, and we just learn a lot in the story about teamwork, about how the crew works together, and he understands mm-hmm. that his mom is but one person on the crew mm-hmm. and what everybody does. And so it gets children thinking about just unusual professional technical careers that they've probably never heard of. And really the intention is to stimulate the curiosity about these you know, professions, but really everything else. And I ask kids, now that you know about flying gas stations and the people work in them, what else can you find out? Mm-hmm. What other careers are out there that you've never heard of?
Yeah, and in your first book, you have all these activities about what is the Air Force and about they making their own patches mm-hmm. and all these things that they were learning. And now in the second one is what I see is also an instruction book for older kids about planes, mm-hmm. about all the parts, about how they fly. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so I've always talked about this series as a global aviation adventure series. So it's really, you know, a recognition that the work I did in the Air Force was not only fun, but it was unusual, and it was just this huge blessing to see the world. But all of that happened because I was trained to actually operate my parts of the airplane. Mm-hmm. So I start there with this idea that, you know, kids that are young are fascinated by airplanes, but do we use the language of airplanes to explain it to them? Do we show them that it's math, science, technology, it's engineering, it's STEM that we talk about? All of that comes together in airplanes. But first and foremost, you know, it's the fact that it's a familiar object to them. So what we do in the book is we go ahead and introduce technical language, like landing gears, like gauges, you know, navigation, the charts, the fuel balancing, you know, aerial refueling. So we go ahead and teach new words to the kids in English and also in Spanish, very important. Mm-hmm. And then we bold the text so that we can make glossaries. And so in the back of the book, we've included an English glossary of aviation terms and then also a Spanish glossary of aviation terms. So kids can really start to learn more about the parts and then speak intelligently about airplanes and then want to go learn more about airplanes because now they know more of the parts, right? Mm-hmm. And then to your point about the activities, in every Captain Mama book, we will always have some kind of activity in the book related to the story. So since this next book, we're learning about the plane, like the first one we're learning about her uniform, Mama's mm-hmm. uniform. Now we're at the plane, learning about the plane. So what we've done is we've included a line drawing of a plan view of the airplane. Mm-hmm. And we've asked kids in the project to use toothpicks, popsicle sticks, and chopsticks to guess where the airplane skeleton is. So now we're getting, you know, kids in kindergarten for second grade, third grade to think about structure. How are airplanes put together? And so now we can introduce engineering concepts and load-bearing concepts, you know, and talk about that. But we're really making like a little model out of paper and sticks. But it's an early activity to get them thinking about those things.
Yeah. This year, the tech, for example, is making a challenge, tech challenge for kids to make their own plane and mm-hmm. learn about aerodynamics.
Exactly.
And it's kind of like that.
So before you can start asking kids to build aerodynamic airplanes that actually go through the air, I think it's important to teach them balance.
Yeah.
You know, how do you build the airplane so that it is balanced, so that it doesn't just fly straight into the ground and that it has a chance of going left, right, up and down? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I decided this project is to make it more about the structure. Because, you know, kids are going to make paper airplanes. They're just going to do that. Mm-hmm. But why not go ahead and introduce the idea that there is actual structural members inside there. There's wing struts. There's a spine of the airplane. So that's why we use the language of a skeleton, because you want to introduce that so they can peek inside the plane, because you can't see that when you look at a plane. You can't see the skeleton. You only see the whole thing, right? So why not get them to think about what's inside? Get them thinking like engineers.
And remember that today we're talking with Graciela Tiscareño Sato, Captain Mama. And remember that this and all our shows are at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org.
Process to do one of these books. You start with the idea, maybe you write it, the first time fast or not, depending on your writing style. Mm-hmm. But then all these details and how do you put the information and the relationship with your illustrator. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that, because there's a lot of that. And then you don't live right to each other. You need to take a plane to see each other's face. And
Yeah, well, it is a very long process. And so, you know, what I've been doing with this one now, since it's the second time around, is at the end of every phase, I've actually been writing and dictating to myself through, you know, Evernote or whatever I have with me, the process, so that I can write a book called So You Want to Write a Bilingual Children's Book, because no one's done that. Mm-hmm. I was researching. There's tons of books about how to write and tons of books about publishing and all that. But the craft of a bilingual children's book, it is a whole other thing. And I just know that so many people are asking me to coach them now that I'm like, okay, I got to write a book about the process. So I don't have to keep saying the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. I'll give you some highlights. Okay, so I wrote this story, but I was so excited that I wanted to tell too much of a story. Mm-hmm. When you're doing series, you want to maintain, you know, some kind of range of word count, pages, you know, understanding the age group of the kids, right? You can't do the first book that's 40 pages and suddenly the next book is 80 pages or a chapter book, because then what just happened there, right? Mm-hmm. So if you imagine like 10 of these books in a row and then one day, like, you know, in hardcover in a gift set or something, if you imagine something like that, there has to be some sort of pieces of story that comes out little by little. So, you know, I have to kind of put some parameters on my story. And the first one I wrote, it was like, go to the plane, take off, refuel, and go land in another country. And my husband says, why? Why all this in the next book? Mm-hmm. So, and then my illustrator, I took her out to the plane and she says, you know what? Now that I understand the plane, let's make this book about the plane. Mm-hmm. Stop, slow down, and introduce us to this really cool airplane. Mm-hmm. And then in the third book, do the takeoff sequence. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that's one of the hardest things is as writers, we get the whole story out. But then you have to now think again, coming back to this technical skill, is you have to technically be able to criticize what you've done and say, no, that's too much. Let's piece it out. And what's the logical division point? So that's one of the early challenges right there.
Yeah, it's like when you're writing a paper for university or something, you just pour all your ideas and then just getting that to just the 1,000 words you need to do, that's the most difficult part. What is important, what is not? How do I say all this stuff in the 5 paragraph, doing it in just 10 words?
Exactly. No, that's a good analogy. And, you know, I tell people, when you're writing, kick the editor out of the room.
Exactly.
Be the writer. Get it out. Get it all out. Because maybe you just wrote 2 papers. Maybe you wrote some future blog posts. Yeah. But you need to get it out. The creation, the ideation needs to come out. And then you can go back now and cut it up and piece it out. And so now, especially when we're going to make it bilingual, it's so important to then really say, this is the beginning, middle, and end. These are the characters, everything you do in writing. But then before you go to translation, because you don't want to do this after, you've got to literally get your story straight. And so I go through a process of letting, you know, bilingual, bicultural mothers and teachers and military veterans read what I wrote. I get feedback very early on to what the story is. And that's when they also said, this is too much. You know, really tell us about the plane. I kept hearing this message over and over again. And so then I literally cut it back to somewhere over, like, really close to 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. And then when I got that straight and perfected, you want to get the English story perfected. So you go through editorial, just like you're going to publish the English. Mm. When you got the story perfected there in terms of character, plot, order, all that, now you translate. There's a whole bunch of work going on. It's almost like you're publishing the English version before you dare to translate. And then you go through translation, and I like to do a literal translation first with my friend Anabel Granados in Los Angeles, who's a pro translator, but she's very literal. Mm-hmm. Okay, she's not going to interpret. She's literally translating. Yeah. And then I had her do it again, thinking like a little boy, like what language would a little boy say? Mm-hmm. Like kind of softening up the language that might be too edgy or too much, right? Mm-hmm. So then you go through that developmental editing. And then after the translation, then you put it back through the focus group, if you will, the bicultural, bilingual mothers, teachers, veterans, educators, grandmothers. that can say, well, if I was reading to my son, I probably wouldn't use that word. I would say this word. And then you get into, oh, yes, all the variances of Spanish from all the different countries. So, yes, it is a very long process, but it is very, very gratifying at the end when you see that the Spanish story stands alone by itself. You don't need the English to understand it. And, of course, the English stands alone away from the Spanish. So when you can see that they're really their own solid stories, and then, of course, matching the illustrations, and you can never rush art. So, yeah, it's a long process of storyboarding, just like you see when Pixar makes movies and they paste things on the wall.
Yeah.
Okay, we go through that whole process matching words to pictures, and no, we don't really need that there. Let's move the words. And so it's so much detail.
Yeah, and then exactly. And then to choose which are the photos that you're going to put in the story, because maybe not all the images are necessary.
Right. And then just really, you know, what Linda Lenz, illustrator, did, she kind of made this big wall of like all the characters, because we're meeting a lot of kids in the book, right? So she actually made little sketches of each person and the clothes they're wearing, so she could get straight of who's on what page. So all of that, just the artistic part that, you know, that someone else created. And then I would meet with her regularly and see where she was with it, and then, you know, take delivery of the illustrations. And then there's all the scanning and digitizing, all this stuff you have to do to get it to be all together. And then you finally put it all together, and then you really get critical. Really get critical, because that's when it's like, why is this picture here when they're saying that? Like, now it doesn't make any sense because you messed something up, right? So then you go through extensive revision, and then you go through, do we really need all those words? And then you go through, well, if we're changing that in English, then we have to change it in Spanish. And so then that becomes a whole other process. And then again, you kind of get to the end, and then you, now you go back one more time with totally different people, fresh eyes, and that's when you catch the missing accent over a word in Spanish. That's when you catch that you're missing quotations in English, and you catch all those things. So that's that's what we just completed in the last 2 weeks, is that final polish to really make everything solid, and now we're printing.
And then the glossary to be right. And
I didn't even talk about that.
Acknowledged to everybody who needs to be acknowledged. And then I bet these letters should go more to the right, to the left. And the font that you were telling me is a big deal. And then maybe one red came out more like a pink and didn't print out the right way, even though the screen was red and then why is pink?
And exactly. And that's where, you know, you have to have the right team. Right. It's, I have this amazing book designer, Susie Mosgrove, up in Novato. So, you know, just I have to say this. Everybody creating this book is a woman. Everybody creating this book has their own business. So this is really a collaboration of small women-owned businesses to create this book, from the publishing consultant, Ruth up in Novato, to Susie, the book designer, to Annabelle, the translator, to Rosie Bustamante in San Francisco, who's the proofreader in two languages. Everybody that's in there, it is an all-woman production of this book. And so I rely very much on their skills, especially when you're saying the design part, the book design. I would never do that. That's just not what I do. So the designer is the one who brings it all together magically and makes the illustrations big, makes them bright, you know, lays the words on top. So really, that's a beautiful craft of actually creating the book versus that we've created pieces of the book. So yeah, that's all part of the process. And said it's grueling. It takes a long time. It's been 3 years since we put out the first one. And that's, you know, because it's not the only thing that, that I do. I do a lot of speaking and stuff. But it is a long process, and you can't rush the illustrations. You know, you can't tell the illustrator, I need you to be done in 3 months.
Yeah, so because you didn't just got a story and wrote it and gave it to somebody else to fix everything. You are doing it all from scratch and until you have your book in your hand that you publish with your company.
And
then it doesn't end then. Now you go and take it to every festival, every reunion group, sellers and distributors, schools. You go school by school and district by district.
Well, yeah. And, you know, this is the part where people have to understand. And now the hard stuff really begins. Everything that I've just described, this is all research and development. This is all product development, right? We haven't even talked about letting the world know about it. We haven't even talked about the process of creating a targeted marketing plan. Who are your buyers, right? So, for example, right now it's April. I'll have the first books in my hand in the middle of April to take to a veterans conference in Sacramento. That's where I'm going to show the book publicly for the first time. And then we'll fulfill all the pre-orders for everybody who supported us going into it. But the book itself will not be available on Amazon and through distribution, through wholesale, all those folks that distribute our book, until July 4th. We're going to make that like the holiday. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the launch. And the reason for the delay is because I now have the ability to have national review journals actually review the book. Mm-hmm. Not that there's a guarantee that they will, but, you know, what publishers do is they send the book 3 months in advance and let School Library Journal, Publishers Weekly, Kirkus Reviews, and those big review journals that buyers are reading, we're going to go ahead and give them a chance to review it because it is such a unique book. Mm-hmm. Yes. The cover letter says, yeah. When was the last time you reviewed a book, a bilingual children's book, written by a Latina military veteran? Mm-hmm. So I want the reviewer to open it up, read that sentence, and go, oh, my God, I have to review this book.
Yes.
Because I've never reviewed a book like that. Right?
Yeah.
And so that's the intention. So this time now is kind of it's a necessary time to reach the educational market and give them a chance, the reviewers a chance to review. And hopefully they will. Mm-hmm. And then by July, we'll be able to have it available in all the places where people expect books to be available. And then within 3 months after that, we'll have it out on Kindle and iTunes and Google Book. All the digital versions will come out within 3 months.
This is Atenea Americana, and I am your host, Isabel Juves. You may find this and all my shows at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org. This is a bilingual cultural show bringing you a window to the Latin and Hispanic universe. Every week for 2 hours, one in English and one in Spanish, from Stanford to the world. You can also be part of this, leaving me your comments, sharing your thoughts, and even more at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org. I invite you to be part of this. And remember that today we're talking with Graciela Tiscareño Sato, Capitan Mama.
Do you do that with the first book too? It's also
It's everywhere. It's Kindle, platform. Google Books, iPad, iTunes. There's Kobo. So like everywhere the digital books are, is you can mm-hmm. find Goodnight Captain Mama. Yep.
Great.
Yeah, because we know a lot of people are starting to adopt educational technology where ebooks are part of the curriculum. So we want to be one of the first ones there, for sure.
Yes, my kids have Kindles, and mm-hmm. The good thing that they have is that I put the educational goals, and they cannot open any app if they haven't read for 1.5 hours.
There you go. That's enforcement. I like it.
Yes.
That's great. No, it's really important because, you know, it is a way to bring stories. But, you know, with the activity books, the thing with Kindles is you're going to have to, what, copy your Kindle screen to get the airplane diagram? I don't know. Mm. That's why also
those
we...
Those are details. But, yeah.
But what I also do, like for the first book with the patch that you talked about, mm-hmm. at the CaptainMama.com website, like your kids that have Kindles, they could just go to the website and print out the patch.
Yes.
So I make the art activity available on the website so that, you know, teachers need more printables, you know, 2-page, 4-page, whatever. The educators and parents can go ahead and get the art project off the website. We'll do the same thing with this one.
Yeah, and it can be if it's a popular blog post to put for the teachers in activities for kids. Yeah. Then they say they go for the post and they, hey, there is a book about this.
Yeah, exactly.
And goes the other way around.
Yeah, and so, and that's a good point because, you know, with a book like this, you know, I constantly say it's the first bilingual children's book series about military mommies and women. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't been done before.
Yeah.
So what that does is it lends itself to, you know, Women's History Month. Right now, it's Día de los Niños in April, right, at the end of April. It's also a month of the military child.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these holidays and celebrations where a book like this would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
Hispanic
of course,
Month.
Hispanic Heritage Month. And then Veterans Day, November.
Veterans Day, And it has, you could go just for the educational part about the plane and had nothing to do with the Spanish version because maybe just not interested about it. But look, there is all this stuff about the airplane and about the mom. Being a strong figure.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, what's really interesting is some of the early endorsements that we got back from teachers. You have one right here on the sheet. This is a woman, a friend of mine named Carla Orozco, who I knew from Berkeley, and she teaches at a Navy base here in California. And so she provided one of the first reviews. And what does she talk about there? She talks about the blend of aviation, engineering, and career opportunities. And the fact that as a science teacher, she really appreciates the fact that it is, you know, showing the story of a military mommy who sacrifices so much in the time that she has to leave her kids, which is a very real story of what our military service members do. Mm-hmm. And so to bring all that together in a book that is also educational, and again, that sparks that curiosity, yeah, that's really the whole purpose of this series. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, to share as we go forward in the series, to share in English and Spanish, you know, details of beautiful places that I was blessed to visit. We have kind of an idea. I've asked people on Facebook, you know, where should we go first? Where should we go second? So I've got all these ideas of where we should go.
Yes.
But we'll have cultural experiences where we land.
Yes.
We'll have an art activity where we land in the countries that we're at. So there's always going to be that blend of airplanes, but then art.
Right.
That's always going to be part of it. It's, you know, we all have two halves of our brain.
And in the books, you're going to be taking all the kids, or you're going to be changing, like, the next year they came, or a group of, I don't know, scouts or something, did something different, or it's just the same kids in the same trip?
Well, the initial idea that I have is the third book is the takeoff sequence. So we're actually going to take off. The sisters of Marco that we meet in this book are going to have, again, to elevate the stature of young girls and their role in the book, is one of them will brief the students that will all be strapped in the back, and we're going to take off, and she'll come back with the chart and say, this is what we're doing today. So she'll kind of be like the sister who's already done this with her mom before, and now they're bringing the brother, right? So she's kind of like the smarty pants older sister. So she'll brief the kids, they'll take off, and then they're going to do a refueling. Because we've been talking about what a refueling looks like and how it works. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to go ahead and get up in the air and then have a really cool airplane, and we're deciding which one's going to be the first one to come up and refuel. And then in the next book, this is where we land in another country. And so the class is staying together, but, you know, perhaps we can swap out the air crew, because you don't always have the same air crew, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with Magic School Bus,
yes,
this idea.
Yes, so that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, if a class full of kids and their teachers can fly to planets, why can't we fly with the class to different countries? And so it's that idea. And then, you know, they'll just go from one country to another country. Every book will have a different airplane that we're refueling.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on the tanker that we're on.
Yes.
But we're seeing other airplanes that come up behind us. We're getting introduced to other airplanes.
Yes.
And it could be from the Navy. It could be from the Air Force. It could be from another country that's a friend of the United States, a NATO ally.
You could refuel Air Force One and
we could
say
refuel
hello
Air
to
Force
the president
One.
From the window.
Like, anything is possible, right? Anything
yes.
is possible. And then we'll learn about that airplane as well. And then we can go and land in another country.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the concept of staying together. And we'll see how many places we go. I don't know. We'll see how it develops. But it's all going to be bilingual, and it's all going to be, you know, mind-expanding.
Yes, educational bars, STEMs.
Exactly. All the time.
Well, all the success in the world. We'll be following it and following
you.
Your career with your publishing. And also, what that we didn't talk about it today, you are also preparing your second book with Latin innovators, Green innovators.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that in another occasion.
Okay.
But yes, you keep going. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, it comes back to the mission statement of the company,
yes.
which is that we publish and showcase the positive contributions of Latino Americans in the USA.
Okay.
This is the military service part, and Latinovating is the entrepreneurship and innovation leadership part. So that's the mission of the company. And, you know, going forward, I intend to start publishing other authors. You know, it's just a capitalization question of when that'll be. But I want to publish other authors who are publishing stories that showcase the positive contributions of Latinos in the USA. I also want to have my Latina veterans who've had incredible adventures publish their children's books. So I'm working on getting them to do that. And then I would like to be their publisher to get their stories out in the world. But I want to add, you know, all over the country, I'd speak all over the country, but it's hard to get to schools because of their budget restrictions.
Yes.
So it's really important that I mention that I'd like to do remote author visits through Skype.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a teacher in a classroom somewhere that would like to, you know, bring the book in, read the book, and then have an author visit via Skype, that's something I'm starting to do more and more now.
Okay.
So remote author visits, because that way I can reach more children and answer their questions.
Yes, yes, I've seen that done a lot. When my oldest kid was in kindergarten, the school went to the multi-purpose room.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big screen, and they talked with someone in the ISS.
Oh,
directly from the school.
That is excellent. See, all those things are possible now. All those things are possible. What an amazing time to be a kid.
Yes.
Can you imagine? You can talk to the ISS crew. That's too cool.
Yes. And, you know, he was in kindergarten, and he was like, oh, yes, and that happened. Like, what? And that happened.
That happened, yeah.
I would be raving for months. I was all excited. Yeah. He was like, oh, okay.
Well, amazing, you know, because that's, I think, in too many places, the inspiration is missing in education. It's, you know, it's just what they're supposed to be teaching. And, you know, I'm always saying along the way, you can't forget to continuously motivate them.
Yes.
Continuously introduce them to something that has the possibility of sparking that interest so that they'll care to stay in school because they have a goal.
And that's what you do when you go to your events. You go, you dress your uniform, you show them photos of your career, you talk about so many things and the book.
Yeah, I do. I tell my service story through pictures at school assemblies. And then when I'm in the classroom and there's, you know, more time or a library program, I do. I bring out the flight suits and the little hat. Mm-hmm. And then every little kid gets to be a captain.
Great.
And the pictures are amazing that I get from, you know, people who are there with their kids and take pictures, and the pictures I get from teachers when the kids do the patches, it's all really special. But it is, it's all about that. It's just, you know, making it real, getting a chance to talk to somebody in the ISS, that real connection, or meeting, you know, a woman like me or like others that have flown and that have worn the uniform. It's, you know, it's real. And I think the most beautiful thing for me is when a little girl in San Leandro pulled on my sleeve and she said, Capitana Mama, yo también quiero volar aviones como tú. Which means, Captain Mama, I want to fly airplanes like you did.
Yeah.
So to be five and to be an English language learner and to be at a school assembly to hear my story and get to see the first book and then to leave the gym, leave the multipurpose room, saying that to the author, that's really special. And that for me, that's really, those are the moments that I just, okay, this is the reason I'm doing it. Like everything else is crazy. Everything else takes a long time. Everything else is work. But this is why. And again, I can't go to every school. I would love to, but it's just not possible. But the books can be in a lot of places, and they have that same impact on the kids. Like, wow, wouldn't that be neat to do that? And so, yeah, I think that's why we need to do more of it, and that's why I want to get other people to write their stories of their global adventures as well.
Yes, amazing. Well, thank you for coming, and we'll hope to have you soon. I'm sure we will.
Thank you so much. Happy to come back. I said the book will be available in July, and right now, you know, we're making it available to everybody who's pre-ordered, and pre-orders continue at our gracefullyglobal.com/commerce site is where people can still get it. So if they buy it early, they can get it early, but the official date is July.
Thank you.
Thank you, Isabel.
And this was Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Stanford, 90.1 FM.
Radio Atenea Americana.
A window to the Latin universe.
This is
Radio Atenea Americana.
Bilingual house of culture on the air and online.
Su casa de la cultura en la radio y online.
Para la radio 90.1 KCSU Stanford.
I am Isabel Jubes.
Isabel Jubes. Vuelve pronto.
Atenea Americana.
From Stanford to the world.
Remember to come back soon.
Ciao.
See you later.